here with my colleague Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He is in the United Kingdom and can testify to the weather these last days. You will recall that the energy resources at the beginning of this winter heating season, it's called in some parts of Europe, were near to full. However, there were doubts that it was going to be adequate if there was a cold snap or an unusually difficult climate on Northern Europe. So far, the headlines are very promising, as if, you'd have to say there's some work in heaven on Europe. The headline in Bloomberg, Europe set for warmest January in years as gas crisis eases. Subhead, Europe gets a warm new year gift to tackle the energy crisis. Subhead, European energy halts price slump as risks keep crisis alive. Subhead, record winter heat wave forces snowless alpine ski resorts to close slopes. Anatole, no one could predict this, and here it is. Maybe it's La Nina, maybe it's fate. But a warm weather winter does relieve a great deal of the anxiety about subsidizing people's heating bills and rearranging the economy for deprivation. However, it doesn't say anything about the future. Your measure of the EU and NATO, they're not exactly the same, the UK being an important exception. But your measure of how it is enduring the threat of shortage, but not the fact of shortage.
Yes, well, John, as you said, I mean, due to climate change, once again this winter, we have seen numerous records in several countries being broken for the warmth of temperatures. But, of course, for the future, this predicts nothing, because as we've seen in recent weeks in the United States, the key point about climate change is that its results are unpredictable. In other words, you know, it can lead to extremes of weather in both directions. So, you know, we don't know what will happen next winter. But certainly so far, things have gone much better than was feared. And this is not just due to the weather, but also, I mean, in certain key countries, especially Germany, the states have been able to respond very effectively, you know, when it comes to developing alternative sources of energy supply, especially liquid natural gas. However, one should be aware, of course, that this crisis is not just an energy crisis. There is a wider economic crisis, particularly here in Britain, which, due to inflation, coupled with economic stagnation, is beginning more and more, frankly, to recall the situation here in the 1970s, which I can remember. Europe, the rest of Europe is doing better, but there are wider economic threats. And here, especially in Germany, this is also tied up to fears of US-driven decoupling from China. So although we look like coming through this winter okay, there are still, you know, indications of a pretty bumpy road ahead over the next couple of years.
And the question of dissent, do you hear it in London? Do you hear it in Paris and Berlin? There have been questions asked, but at this point, not one of the major players on the European continent have moved away from the collective lack of diplomacy. I don't know. There must be a German word for when there is no diplomacy. But to our knowledge, there's no separate peace being negotiated in some back room, is there?
No, at present not. Britain, there's no point in looking to Britain for this. The present government is obsessed with internal problems and in the end will simply follow the US lead in any case. France, also under Macron, seems to be at the moment fully on board. Germany is the biggest question. German public opinion is more conflicted over this. And there are deeper worries about what's been called deindustrialization in general. This is where German concerns about decoupling from China also kick in. But Germany has largely sacrificed its ability to play the role of an interlocutor with Russia, above all because of something that Angela Merkel has said about the Minsk peace process for the Donbass, where she essentially said in public, as part of, you know, defending her record against the charge of being too soft on Russia, that essentially the whole Donbass peace process was not sincere on our part. It was just a way of buying time for Ukraine to strengthen itself. Well, not altogether unfairly, this is being seen in Russia as simply a betrayal. And so confidence in Berlin's ability to play any kind of brokerage role has collapsed in Russia.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, the start of the calendar year, Ukraine conflict unsolved. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,